Both our first reading and our gospel today, which our gospel you're probably very familiar with, speak of God giving in not just abundance, but overabundance, a superabundance, more than we could ever need or want. The problem is we don't always see this happen. I was particularly impressed by this gospel because this past week I visited with several families in our parish who are in need, who are suffering financially. We did our annual budget review of the parish, having ended the fiscal year. We ended about $48,000 in the hole. And I'm sitting here thinking about these families who are in need and our parish budget, and I'm thinking, well, God, was this a one-time thing, or, you know, are you not helping us out still today? And we're tempted to think that, aren't we, sometimes? Where is the superabundance of God today? Now, we have to be careful. We do not believe in, as Christians, in what we call the gospel of prosperity, that if you follow Jesus, somehow you're going to get rich. In fact, he lauds the poor, right? He says the poor have a special foot in the door, if you will, into the kingdom of God because they're halfway ready. We also have to be careful not to give up on God. We can sometimes feel like Job when he says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that must truly be our disposition. That whether we have a lot or we have a little, praise God. Today's gospel and first reading are a lesson to us in stewardship. And number one, the lesson in stewardship that the people give us is that we must have our priorities straight. We must have our priorities straight. Notice that their need in the gospel today and the need in the first reading was a true need. These people had been following Jesus all day. They were hungry. They didn't want to fall over out of, you know, not having enough to eat. So it was a real need. And sometimes we get caught up in the things of the world, having the latest TV, or maybe it's an addiction like cigarettes or things like that. Guys, those things aren't needs. And so we must have our priorities straight. Notice too that these people were seeking Jesus first of all. They weren't hungry first, they were seeking Jesus first. And when we seek Jesus first, all the other things tend to fall into line. So we must be seeking Jesus first. How can that practically look? It means having a holy hour every week. I really believe that is not an option in our time and our day with our mobility for any family in a Catholic parish, especially in Wichita where we have it so available. You must have a weekly holy hour with the Lord. Must have prayer time with Him. Be seeking Him out every day. And not just the lip service we give Him in the morning and at night, but throughout the day recalling Him and giving Him a special time for prayer or reading. Also notice that these people were willing to make a sacrifice. Now if I asked you to journey on foot, we're going to say walk out to Goddard, and I ask you to not take a thing with you, and it's 100 degrees out. You guys can identify with that, right? It's 100 degrees out. We're going to walk to Goddard. Don't take a thing with you. Most of us would probably say, "Father, I'm sorry. Can I drive?" These people in the gospel today, they weren't worried about making a sacrifice. They just went. They just followed with great faith. And so must we. The second lesson in stewardship that Jesus gives us through the gospel today is one of generosity. Now, we tend to fall into error because we tend to think that if I don't have a lot, I don't have a lot to be generous. And I'm not just talking about money because stewardship goes far beyond that. That's just a little piece of it. Many of us think of a tithe as giving 10%. I recently, though, heard a great sermon on the radio. The guy was saying, how much of God's is what we have? 10%? No, 100%, right? If we truly believe in the stewardship way of life, if we truly believe that God has given us all that we have, then 100% of it is His. 100% of my time is His. 100% of my affections is His. 100% of my body is His. 100% of my skills, little as they may seem to be, are His. And so generosity becomes not about what you have, not about giving a certain percent, but giving everything you have to the Lord. And you can do this whether you have a little or have a lot. And that's the beauty of it. The stewardship way of life is about being generous with all of yourself. You know, I think about this boy in the gospel today. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now, there's a couple guesses as to why he was there. Why was this guy there and he seemed to be the only one with food, right? Was he the only guy who was smart enough to bring food? Or maybe he was a family member and brought food for his family. Or perhaps he was an entrepreneur, right? He was out there thinking, I'm going to sell something today to these idiots who didn't bring any food with them, right? Either way, this boy who could have had the food for his family or who could have been wanting to sell it to bring in income for his family, he decides to be generous. You don't hear him in the gospel today whining or protesting, but rather sharing. Whether we have a little or we have a lot, God has called us to be generous. The last lesson in stewardship which we learn from the gospel today is that needs must be communicated. Needs must be communicated. I sat down with a staff member this past week because I was really frustrated. I was frustrated because certain things weren't getting done, and they haven't been for years. And I've said things, you know, I've said something before, and it still doesn't get done. Parents, can you identify with that with your children? You say over and over, clean your room. How many times, children, do your parents have to tell you to clean your room before it really happens? And it ends up making them very frustrated, doesn't it? And so I sat down with the staff member and I just said, you know, I'm not trying to attack you, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to share with you how I feel. And you know what I realized? That I hadn't been clear about making my needs or my expectations known. That I was just as much at fault as they were. Perhaps as parents, sometimes we tell our kids to clean their rooms when they're running out to play, or when we're just finishing dinner, or times that where we're not really dedicated to communicating to them that need, instead of sitting them down and saying, kids, this is what I need you to do. I remember in my family growing up, Dad would call family meetings. You guys ever do that? Call family meetings? Now, usually it wasn't too good a thing when Dad called a family meeting. Somebody was in trouble. But maybe it's a good idea to have those things on a regular basis anyway, just to check in. We have, you know, in an office setting, you have what? A staff meeting, right? Usually you have a staff meeting once a week to check in with each other and to clearly communicate your needs. And brothers and sisters, this is true of us in the life of stewardship. We must communicate our needs to each other. Whether that need is to a spouse, to your children, to your pastor, to your parish. So many of us, the error that we're making, the reason we're dissatisfied in our marriages and in our relationships and in our church is because we're not communicating our needs. We're not making them known. We have a lot of great people here in our Church of Christ the King, a lot of great people in the Christian church. But sometimes we fall to that error, and Satan's really good at tricking us into it, of assuming that everybody... everybody knows what we need. Please make your needs known. Where is this overabundance, this superabundance that we hear about in the gospel today? It is waiting for us. Ultimately, in the kingdom of God, which is what we must be living for. But it comes also in the life of stewardship. When we give 100% to God instead of just 8 or 10% or 2%, that's when we start realizing God's abundance, because we realize everything is His. When we have our priorities straight, we can begin to experience God's abundance by seeking Jesus first, and everything else comes after that. And when we make our needs known and we clearly communicate them, you may be sitting there thinking, God, you haven't been abundant with me. I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Whether it's a spiritual need, an emotional need, or a material need. But have you made those needs known? You may think to yourself, well, He's God. He knows my needs, right? But remember, God wants a relationship with you. And in any relationship, communication is the key. So make your needs known. Today, as we approach this altar, we have something called offertory, where we bring up our gifts of bread and wine. But really, brothers and sisters, and you hear this reflected in the new Eucharistic prayers and the wordings of it. It is not just the gifts of bread and wine. It's your gifts. Even more than your gifts, your very selves that you lay down at this altar. And not 8 or 10% of it, but 100% of yourselves that you lay down at this altar.